Amen.
God, indeed, you are the Father God of love. You are Father of deliverance. You are life, and you are our hope. Good morning, church. As you know, I'm not Pastor Matt. Pastor Matt was diagnosed with COVID positive yesterday. He was supposed to preach, and he intended to preach until last night. But this morning at 6:30, he called me up, George. I said, what? Did you receive my message? I said, what message? Can you preach? So here I am. Even though I'm not ready, I don't deserve it, but I trust that God will provide and God will deliver. Let's bow our head. Father God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for giving us an opportunity to come to know you, to count on your deliverance, to count on your love, to really depend on you and rely on you. And Father Lord, we are lifting up Pastor Matt and Brother Michael Lindgren to you, as both of them are tested positive yesterday. May you be with them, heal them, give them the assurance that you are with them, because you always deliver. Father God, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today's topic is, do you know anyone experiencing depression? I used to have depression, and God healed me after some years. And some of you may know that story, but today is not about me. It's about those who are experiencing depression and about God. Today's scripture is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 to 11. So if you have your Bible, you can open it to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 8 to 11. It's only four verses. So first we're going to talk about silent killers. A lot of times we talk about COVID, we get sick, people died, and sometimes people die without our knowing. In 2020, a 17-year-old young man was found dead in his bedroom. His mom found him and couldn't know why. There were no drugs, no injury, no violence, nothing in the room. But he was dead. Later on, the coroner, did autopsy and knew that he was overdosed by fentanyl. People take fentanyl because of their extensive euphoric effect. They really look forward to it. Why do people look forward to those kind of experience, feeling, emotions? I don't know. Sometimes when they're low, or maybe they're hopeless, or maybe they just want to be accepted. Could be different reasons. The drugs can be a silent killer. And I remember like 3 months ago in the Woodlands, the two students in the high school were killed by overdosed. Another silent killer is depression. It can really lead to death by suicide. I had depression, and I knew some people who had depression. And that's why this topic is so heavy on my heart. Sometimes people depress without we really know about it. Seriously. In my life, I'm old. I experienced 2 death by suicide. Both of them were not easy. The first one was a 40-something-year-old woman. She was really successful, and she is the director of the Asia division of Worldwide Magazine. She had it made. She had money. She is easygoing. She seemed optimistic. On the weekend, she went out with her husband to go on the yacht and went to the ocean and relax. When I thought about suicide, I never thought about her. But one day, the text came through. She jumped off her apartment in Hong Kong. Quite a shock. And right after that, I began a two-year journey with another friend, which I knew in 1977. It was a very difficult journey to see and walk with someone who want to die by suicide. I tried to help, different people tried to help, but at the end, 2 years later, she took her life. And also experienced one who tried to kill herself. I joined the Israel tour and went to Egypt, to Israel. This sister just graduated with a Master of Theology and accepted into the doctoral program in New Testament. She was happy. She was elated. One day we were having lunch and she was kind of quiet. It didn't cross my mind she was depressed because she was so bubbly the few days ahead. The following day, we lost her. We couldn't find her until 6 or 7 hours later, we found her walking in the desert. She was trying to kill herself. She was going to die by suicide. So depression speak deeply to me. I don't know about you. Do you know anyone in your life, your fellow students, your fellow co-workers, your friends, your family, your loved ones are experiencing depression? Do you know? Do you know anyone? Do you know anyone who is experiencing depression? Here's just a couple of facts. NAMI, the National Academy of Mental Illness, said 1 in 5 adults experience mental illness each year. 1 in 5 adults. Okay, good thing it's only like 12, 13 adults here, so probably 2 or 3 have. I'm not saying we, but that's the ratio. And in Texas, they were estimated there were about 3.4 million adults having mental illness. If you don't know how many people are they are 3 times the population of Austin. So imagine the people in Austin 3 times are having mental illness. In 2020, CDC said the death by suicide is around 45,000. It's actually 45,979 to be exact. Is the 12th leading cause of death in the U.S. And there were 1.2 million attempts suicide that year. 1.2 million. In Texas, in 2019, there were 3,778 deaths by suicide. And it's the 11th leading cause of death. Brothers and sisters, friends, it's time that we need to pay attention to the one sitting to our left, to the right, in front of us, and to the back of us. 1 in 5 adults experience mental illness each year. It may not be one of us, but they're close by. They're everywhere. I urge you to be looking out and be sensitive to people. Just like in 2018, that woman, that sister, that I never thought she was having depression, and then the following day she tried to walk to her death. So this is our present day. So what does the Bible say about depression? So let's look to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 to 11. Despair in hopelessness. This is Paul. Paul the apostle. Christ met him, spoke to him, empowered him, taught him, everything. He is the 13th apostle. He knew Christ, and he was on the mission to do Christ's work, to spread the gospel, to go and baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teach them and walk with them. And this is Apostle Paul. Can you imagine he is depressed? We know a lot of people who is depressed. In Psalms, King David is always depressed. There are a few more people in the Bible who are depressed. But Paul really speaks to me. He follows God. He is with Christ. He speaks for Christ. He has the authority to heal, to chase away the spirit, to preach, and to set up churches. He's such a powerful man. And how can he be depressed? Let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 to 11. We just read 8 and the first half of 9. Verse 8, "For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia, for we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we have received the sentence of death." This is Paul. What do you think is going on in his mind then? He is doing the work of Christ. Indeed, he said, "We don't want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters." Even though he's doing such a good job, people think, "Oh, Paul is great. He's powerful. He goes to different cities and preach and set up churches." Still, the affliction he have experienced. We are not sure which experience he's talking about. Maybe the accumulation of all the experiences. Or it could be in Acts 14, 19 to 20, he said, "But Jews came from Antioch and Iconium and have persuaded the crowds. They stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead." He was stoned to death. And people thought he was dead before they left him. He was so close to death. That's why he said, he had received the sentence of death. But what happened? God saved him. In verse 20, he said, "But when the disciples gathered about him, he rose up and entered the city. And on the next day, he went on with Barnabas to Derbe." God saved him. He was so close to death. People thought he was dead. And God raised him. Is it that experience? I cannot be sure, but it could be. Or could it be the accumulation of all the events, all the sufferings he has to go through? In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 5, it said, "Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned." That was in previous. "Three times I was shipwrecked, a night and a day I was adrift at sea." Even Apostle Paul doing God's work is so hard. Is life tough? I find my life tough. It's not easy. There are times I don't understand. Who can I count on? As I experience our own depression, I count on God, even though I didn't know him at that time. But somehow, I know I can trust him at that time. He saved me from the dark. He showed me light. Even powerful people, authoritative people, can experience depression. Can experience suffering. Why? Why do people doing God's work have to suffer? And one may say, we don't have to do God's work, then we don't suffer. Wrong. No matter you do God's work or not, one day you're going to suffer, one way or another. There are different reasons why you have to suffer. Through suffering, our faith in Him can be strengthened. Through suffering, we can count on God more. Through suffering, we can come to know Him. Through suffering, we know how minute we are, how prideful we are, because we have no God in our heart, in our life. Do good people suffer? Yes. Job suffered for no reason. The devil picked him because he has strong faith. He's a righteous man. So when people suffer, that may be one of those answers or one of the reasons. Why do you think Paul suffered? Why do you think Paul is so depressed, thinking that he has received the sentence of death, doing God's work? Why? We know Paul is despair in hopelessness. Despair is when you have no hope at all. You turn away from the hope of God. You don't know God, because God is our only hope. The next thing is, good thing we have God. He delivers. And that is His character. This is what Paul is saying. Let's read together the second part of verse 9 into verse 10. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us. On Him we have set our hope that He will deliver us again. So why do you think Paul has to suffer, has to go through depression, thought that he has a sentence of death? There is a purpose. The purpose is to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God. To make us rely not on ourselves, but on God. Even at times, I do God's work, I think I'm doing God's work. I do it out of my pride. And I don't rely on Him. It didn't work well. God uses different things to humble me. Suffering is one of them. It was only until Friday that I come to realize patience includes suffering. It's long suffering. It never ends. Because this is part of God. God suffers for all of us. He knows how we are feeling when we suffer. And He suffered with us. Just like with Jesus on the cross. He suffered with Jesus. When He saw me rebelled against Him, ran away from Him for 50-something years, He suffered. He was having all this pain inside Him. It's never ending. But God clearly spoke to Paul. The reason why he is suffering is not to rely on himself, but on God. Then Paul tells us, how come we have to depend on God? Because it is God's character. He raises the dead. He is the only one who can raise anyone from dead. Jesus resurrected Nazareth. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus was raised on the third day. That was totally conviction for me already. A lot of people can predict when they're going to do this, when they're going to do this, and it will fulfill. I'm limited in my knowledge, but in the history of man, has anyone who has predicted his death and his own resurrection in 3 days, and it came true. Only Jesus said he will be raised on the third day, and he was, and he is. God gives life. God preserves life. God saves life. This is God who raises the dead. He raised me when I was dead. I was spiritually dead. I don't know him at all. But he spoke to me slowly, gently, and slowly he draws me to him. And that's him. He delivered us from a deadly peril. He saved me from the deadly peril for everlasting, not knowing him. But he saved me. He gave me the choice to come to know him. And he will deliver again. He will. We trust that he will. And last, that on him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. When Jesus comes, the final judgment day, he will deliver us again. Brothers and sisters will go into heaven and inherit the kingdom together along with Jesus, because Jesus has already saved us a room in the kingdom. There is God. God delivers. At times we may know why do we need to suffer, but he is there. He is here. All we need to do is to reach out to him, because he delivers. He has delivered so many. I'm not the first one, and I'm probably not the last one. He has delivered, and he continues to deliver, because this is God's character. This is God. God loves us so much that he delivers. So when we have depression, or when you are depressed, when I'm depressed, we can count on God for his deliverance. God has delivered Paul. God has delivered Jesus. God has delivered Elijah. God has delivered King David. God has delivered me, and he will continue to deliver. When any one of us is depressed, we can depend on God's deliverance. Despair in hopelessness when we don't see God, when we don't rely on God. Deliverance in God's presence. When we get close to God, we can count on his deliverance. Number three. And then we are also designated to be present. What does that mean? Designated to be present. God is always with us. Jesus is always with us. His people, no matter where they are, he is aware. When a woman touched him, he knows. When someone speaks softly, he hears. Even when the children want to go to him and the disciples stopped the children, Jesus told the disciples to let the children come to him. Jesus is here all the time. Jesus is present all the time. I encourage you, brothers and sisters, to be present at all times, meaning we pay attention to the people sitting next to us, working next to us, or living in the same roof with us. Let our presence be known to them. When they want to speak, we are ready to listen. When they need help, we are ready to deliver. Let's read verse 11. Verse 11, it said, "You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many." Paul is asking the Corinthians to pray for him, to pray. He said, "You must help. You must help us by prayer. We all need help." I used to be so prideful that I can do it all. I can do it on my own. But God let me fail so badly. I cannot function by myself alone. God made us men and women, husband and wife, brothers and sisters. We are all in relationship with one another. We are not independent human beings. God is a God of relationship. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They talk to each other. They care for each other. That's why Paul is also asking us, asking the Corinthians, "You also must help us by prayer." Even though the Corinthian church don't see Paul all the time, Paul is asking them, begging them to pray for him. So it's okay to ask for prayers. So be ready. When a person asks you for prayer, pray. Pray for him. Pray with him. Pray to him. As you know, I'm old and I'm forgetful. So when people used to ask me to pray, I said, "Okay, I'll pray for you." Then I forgot. So now, God spoke to me, "George, pray right now." When people ask me to pray, I pray right now. Pray. Pray for them. How do you pray for them? Pray that God will soften their heart. Pray that God will let them see the light. Pray them to know that God is the deliverer. God is the same God yesterday, today, and tomorrow. God will deliver no matter what. Pray and give thanks. Because when we pray, God will act. God will listen. Because he does. Because he is present with us. When he delivers, we tell our testimony to others so we can all praise God together. How can we pray? Always be mindful. Always be present to look out for people to pray for. Like the sister who I met on 2018. If I saw her that day having lunch by herself, didn't say a word, didn't eat her food, and just go and sit down with her, I think it would be a very much comfort to her, knowing that someone cares. It's because nobody cares. She was there by herself all the time. Sometimes when we see people, we don't know what to do. When they're sad, when they're crying, as the Bible has taught us, practice the ministry of presence. That is the best. What is the ministry of presence? It's to be with people. When Job was suffering, his three friends went to visit him. And they were the best counselors of the 7 days, because they sat there, listened to Job, and said nothing. Sometimes we don't have to speak. Just by being there will bring so much hope to the person. Just by being there and listening to them, feel like they are important, they are valued. Let them know. Let them have the assurance that somebody cares. So the next time when you see someone who is sitting there by himself or by herself, not talking, if it's lunchtime, don't even eating, just go and sit with them and pray. And pray. Offer to pray for him. Anything on your mind that we can pray. Sometimes you can be bold also. As I have talked about, depression led to suicide, death by suicide a little bit earlier. A lot of times we are afraid to speak to people whom are depressed. We don't know how depressed they are. We don't talk to them, don't be with them. But if they keep on distancing themselves when you speak to them, pray to God first. Pray for wisdom, how to speak to them. Pray for boldness to ask the right question. And pray for strength to ask it, that question. That question can be hard to ask. It's asking that person, are you having any thoughts to die by suicide? Are you having any thoughts to die by suicide? A lot of us may not want to ask that question because we don't want to provoke that person. We don't even want to think, that person to go in that way and think that he's going to commit suicide. Wrong. He might be thinking about it already. Just ask. You're not saying he is. We don't know. That's why we ask. We ask our curiosity. We ask out of our caring heart. We ask out of God's courageousness. Remember, every year, there are 1.2 million suicide attempts. That is, they take it into action. Do you know how many people are thinking about it in the United States? 1.2 million take action of their thoughts to die by suicide. How many do have their thoughts? I don't know. All I know is one out of five adults have mental illness every year. One out of five. So be bold, be courageous, be present with them. Practice the ministry of presence to be with them. And when you pray and the Spirit prompted you that to ask that question, go and ask that question. Are you thinking of, do you have thoughts of to die by suicide? And pray with them. And be prepared. Guide them, to walk with them, for them to get assistance, to get help. If you want to know more about death by suicide and suicide intervention, there are workshops. Join me. There's a workshop called ASSIST, A-S-I-S-T. It's going to be in September. It's going to be a two-day workshop. You're welcome to join me in how to walk with people who have those kind of thoughts, to die by suicide. You really want to make a difference in this world? You can save lives. You can save lives by walking with God and be partner with God, a co-worker of God, to bring His hope, His care, His love to the people who are suffering, who are hopeless. Show them Christ. Show them love of Christ. Show them the forgiveness of Christ. them the peace of Christ. So if you are depressed, assure yourself, God can deliver, because He has delivered, He will deliver, and He will deliver again. And last, I ask you to think about people around you. Are you willing to be present with them? Are you willing to listen to them? Are you willing to be with them? Are you willing to be the ambassador of Christ to bring them hope? Are you willing to be the ambassador of Christ to give them the assurance of everlasting life? To give them the assurance of forgiveness, the freedom. The bondage of circumstances, so they can see light, so they can see Jesus. So do you know anyone experiencing depression? If they don't know God, they're away from God, they will be despaired. Sometimes even close people walking close to God can experience despair of the suffering. But we know God will deliver. He has and will and always will deliver. And we are designated by Christ to pray and to intercede for people, to be with them, to pray for them, to pray with them, and to walk with them, be bold to help them. So last, do you know anyone experiencing depression? Do you know anyone experiencing depression? If you are depressed, trust God for deliverance. If your friend is depressed, assure him or her that God will deliver. If your loved one is depressed, bring him the God of hope, assure them God will deliver them. There's always a way, and God has a way, and God's way is deliverance. Let's bow our head. Father God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this day. We thank you for giving us life. We thank you for giving us a choice. We can choose to be with you or to run against you. Thank you for giving us the wisdom to discern when to trust you, how to trust you, and why do we need to trust you. Because you are God. You are the God of love. You are the God who raises the dead, who delivers us from such a deadly peril, who will deliver and will deliver us again. Because you are a God of deliverance. Father God, we have so much peace in you. Because of your delivery, of your deliverance. So we don't have to stay in our despair. We don't have to stay in our hopelessness. In you, we have hope. In you, we can see Jesus, the light of our life. In you, we are delivered into the heavenly realm. Father God, help us to pray. Help us to pray for ourselves. Help us to pray for the loved ones. Help us to pray for everyone. Help us to be bold in the presence, to be representing you, to bring your presence to people. May we all, led by the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit, be the comforter of many, bring them the hope of assurance. God is God. And He loves us so much that He will deliver us today and tomorrow. Father God, we thank you. By the power of the Holy Spirit and in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.